You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
If, in fact, the Chinese have developed a hypersonic missile that can deliver a nuclear weapon, it's a military game changer when it comes to nuclear forces. We've allowed the Chinese to leapfrog us, and we're going to have to do one of two things. Get them to stand down, and I don't know how Joe Biden convinces anybody to stand down. If they don't stand down, we're going to have to develop a capability to neutralize this.
Can we have a capability to neutralize China in this current situation with the Biden administration? That is Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina. This is October 19, 2021. We are facing a new threat from China. The word came out the other day from China that they had launched a new type of missile, a hypersonic nuclear-capable missile. But China says, we're experimenting with satellite lifts. Right. But there'll be many who believe it. Lindsey Graham says if this is true, this is what they truly did launch, and we can verify it. This is the most frightening scenario for our nuclear weapons in 40 plus years. And, of course, part of the question is, how did China get to this point this fast? It comes right back to us, my friend. In fact, two congressmen are already calling that out. So is Lindsey Graham, by the way. But on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, ranking member Michael McCaul, Republican of Texas, said that the China's missile test and that technology, he said that came from the U.S., came from us. Congressman Michael Waltz, Republican of Florida, says, again, this is the culmination of multiple decades of the Chinese stealing their way to the top. Who would they be stealing from? The U.S. And that is in part because of arrangements U.S. companies that are also contracting with our U.S. government in deals they make with China. The rule in China is, if you're going to operate here in our country, you must have a junior partner. Well, guess what? Every junior partner you have to sign up with is part of the Communist Chinese Party. So when you open up any kind of file and share it with your junior partner in China, you're giving them U.S. state secrets. There's a move afoot to put an end to that. Former Director of Intelligence Grinnell said, I've been battling my head against the wall on this thing, but this is not just Democrats stopping it. It's also Republicans, because they have some defense contractors in their backyard, and they know if they have to suddenly shut all that down because they have a contract with the U.S. government and they can't do business with China, it costs jobs and money in their district. But we really have to reconsider what's at stake. National security, global security. We're going to get into that in great detail a little bit later today. Also, we continue to see prices going up. Procter & Gamble announcing it's kicking up prices, producing prices, delivery prices. Oil and gas, oil right now still above $84 a barrel. And some are saying it could go unless changes happen in the next 10 years, it could go above $120 a barrel. And, of course, a lot of businesses are struggling to stay afloat. One of my guests today is Bruce Merrifield. He's a business consultant, strategist. He is a business owner, business turnaround expert, countless speeches to major companies and trade associations. We're going to discuss the labor market and what's happening with that and the rest of business right now. And also, Jonathan Butcher from the Heritage is going to join us. Education expert, He's the author of the book Splintered: Critical Race Theory, The War on Truth. And we're going to discuss expressly the point that a group, an organization that might sound like it's nice and good for you, the National School Boards Association, it can be very evil, because it is the National School Boards Association which sent out the letter to Merrick Garland, Attorney General, saying you need to put the FBI onto those parents in those loud school board meetings and elsewhere. Parents are now terrorists. A lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I had me a girl, taught me those things a young man should know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Prices are going up. They're going up faster than anybody expected. It's a little bit out of control because nobody wants to be, how do they say it, behind the curve. And I'm concerned. People are paying more. I see over 10% in the next 60 days. And it's going to happen. And none of the CEOs, you know, people say we're going to raise the taxes only on corporations. I mean, that is dumber than dog doo-doo. I mean, corporations are just going to pass it on to the consumer.
Yeah, like we don't know that, right? But apparently the Biden administration is hoping you do not know that any increase to the wealthy and the businesses and the corporations is going to be paid by, that would be you. Just like you or your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and great-great-great-great-grandchildren are going to pay for this grab bag of goodies they're trying to get pushed through. We'll get into that in more detail in a moment. Well, those are the words of an interview that took place with Maria Bartiromo over the weekend. I didn't get a chance to get to it yesterday, but I knew it would still be valid today. That's John Katsimatidis. He's an oil and food exec, both involved in major food, produce type, and other items, and also oil and gas and energy. So he's right on the cusp of both of them. And he said, I see increases across the board coming, 10% minimum. Minimum. Keep in mind what's happening right now. There are at least 66 cargo ships at anchor or off the ports of L.A. and Long Beach, the busiest and second busiest container ports in the U.S. The ships are visible for miles from the shore. They're anchored in formation. As one reporter said, it's almost like a military fleet. And that's what they're doing. They're just waiting to be brought in. And these two port facilities are fairly adjacent to each other. One local resident made a remark, I've never seen anything like this congestion in the port before. This all falls upon the Biden administration, of course, and Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg. He actually convened a meeting on the cargo issue back in July. That was in July, but then he went on 2 months maternity leave unannounced in mid-August. He only recently returned. He didn't bear a child. He was there helping his husband as they had twins. Well, again, I'm all about maternity leave, especially for the woman who bears the child. And yes, it's good to have dad home, especially if you have more than one, to give them some. But if you are head of a major U.S. government agency and you have duties in front of you, you can't take that kind of time off. Obviously, your help would be needed at home. But if you're going to hold that position, that's where you damn well should be, is overseeing this. And, of course, we've gotten so used to kind of excusing folks, well, you can work from home, and in some cases they can. But I think it's much more critical that we have the Secretary of Transportation on spot on record. But the more important part is he did recognize, apparently, back in July that there might be a little issue, but then he took off on his leave. We have our supply chain shock because of shortages for many consumer goods on American stores, on the shelves, delays in delivery. You get them to the dock off the ship, you still have to get them on trucks. You have to have drivers to move the trucks out. If you're moving them to a rail system, you got to get there. You got to have the trains operating. I mean, it's just one thing after another. But I don't think the Biden administration really understands how the hell this company or whether this country moves. It's just not one independent decision. It's multiple decisions and multiple parts. COVID obviously had a part in the beginning of shutting things down until we got our hands on it. And then once we understood where we were, we should have been moving forward and being proactive. Labor's another issue. And I've got a guest coming up on that later that I definitely want you to hear. He speaks to probably more than 100 trade organizations across the nation from time to time over those and major corporations about doing business in today's world, and labor is one big part of that. And when it comes to doing business, as you heard John Katsimatidis say, look for price increases. Well, today Procter & Gamble said, yes, we're raising prices on numerous household staple goods because the cost for raw materials, freight, that translates also into transportation, and cost of oil and gas has increased faster than anticipated. So if you buy Tide or Charmin, you buy any oral care like toothbrushes, toothpaste, beauty products, razors, they're already charging more for toilet paper in diapers, and you can expect that to also go up. And once it starts, who knows what the top is? Well, when you start looking at that, the former president of the U.S. division of Walmart, Bill Simon, said, we have not been here before.
I've never seen it like this, and I don't really think anybody living in this country has. I mean, this is really unprecedented. The supply chain is a mess from start to finish. You know, they're backed up in the ports in Asia. They're backed up on the water. They're backed up at the ports in the U.S. There's a shortage of truck drivers. There's a shortage of labor in our distribution system. And there's a shortage of people to put it on the shelf. Other than that, everything's going pretty well.
Yeah, everything going pretty well, right? That's true. Oh, we're all hunky-dory here. Everything's going just great. No, it's all, as the saying goes, going to hell in a handbasket at this point. And oil and gas prices are also part of it going up. We're going to get into that again in a moment. This is a beast that has many tentacles. And they're all important. You cut off one or you damage one, you begin to affect others as well. When we see these consumer giants like Procter & Gamble start increasing the cost, there's also going to mean there's probably going to be a shortage, and there's going to be another price increase then, and squeezed in the middle is going to be the smaller businesses, those who already are doing their best to compete against Walmart, Costco, Home Depot. Those companies can go out and charter their own ships for their product. But again, former Walmart U.S. President Bill Simon says that's easy for them, not so much for the smaller businesses.
Smaller retailers just can't get the product. Even the big retailers, you know, operating the port 24/7 sounds good, and it sounds like you're taking action. But if it's not here yet, it's mid-October, Dagan. If it's not here yet, it's not getting to the shelves by Christmas time. And I think you'll Walmart and Costco and Target and the big retailers will find a way to get product through, some sort of product through. It's just the small ones; they're just going to be left with nothing. It's going to be difficult for them.
It will be the survival of the fittest. That's what it's going to come down to. Now, keep in mind, these same businesses that are suffering this now have just tried to stay afloat during COVID. And we're not just talking about retail. We're talking about restaurants. We're talking about other small businesses that are doing the best they can. Maybe they care for pets. They have a pet supply center, or they also have maybe pet care, or maybe they are doing toys for kids type thing. Any business you want to touch right now is in jeopardy. Do you think it might get better? What are you dreaming? Better than that, the question should be, what exactly are you smoking? There's nothing that's going to make this turn around immediately. It's been a while in happening. I mean, we've got 60 cargo ships, 60, off the shore of California waiting to get in. They started their journey weeks ago, probably from some of the locations where they were loading up. So it's not like they just suddenly popped up on the horizon. Put it this way. Let's say you've been there. I'm sure you've been there before. You're in a plane. You're flying around and around. You're waiting for clearance to land. And finally, they get you in the lineup and your plane lands. And you taxi off the runway and you continue to sit because the tarmac is filled with other planes that can't get out yet. They haven't loaded passengers. It all jams up. You've been there. And that industry also is going to be suffering. And again, back to Katsimatidis, again, an expert and businessman in oil and energy and other products, said, you just get ready. Here it comes.
With almost $84 oil this morning, we're going to see $100 oil, it looks like. There's no sign of it stopping. And you know how CEOs are on Wall Street. They live quarter by quarter. If they're off by a penny in earnings, Wall Street is not forgiven. So what are the CEOs doing? They're raising prices. They want to be ahead of the curve. So whatever's going on, I see food prices going up tremendously.
Tremendously. Well, what's the reaction from the White House? Because, I mean, after all, the White House has got to be concerned, right? Well, that question came up the other day for Jen Psaki at the White House, and her response was kind of, we have it all under control. Just listen.
I know General Secretary Austin, I should say.
Yeah, here she is again. Now, this is Jen Psaki on oil and gas. And apparently that is my mistake, folks. I was setting up the wrong bite on the oil and gas prices.
We, of course, want to address the short-term supply issues. One of those issues, as we know, was related to Hurricane Ida and the impacts in the region, which we took steps to address certainly at the time. But our view, to go back to your original question, is also that while we need to take steps to address short-term supply issues, we need to also keep our eye on the long-term and the impact of the climate, the crisis that is we are in the middle of, and ensure that we are continuing to encourage the production and rise of renewable and the clean energy industry, which is exactly what the president's proposals would do.
But you're not. You're shutting down the oil and gas industry. Your bigger concern is the climate 30, 40, 60 years from now. And folks are suffering now, and they're going to continue suffering. And the other day, the White House was appealing to oil and gas industries. Can you get more oil and gas moving? Well, no, because you've shut down a lot of our operations. You won't allow us to. It takes time to do that. And now the White House is considering tapping into a strategic reserve fund. It's called that because that's when you use it basically in a time of war. If you would just let us go back to what we were doing, we would not have this issue. And then, of course, don't forget later I'll have a labor guest on talking about the labor market. But first, an update on the budget battle, and you can blame Biden again. I'm honored to have First Crypto World in St. Charles on board as a sponsor. This is the first brick and mortar store where you can actually learn about cryptocurrencies. And what do you know about crypto mining? I'm confused. That's what I'm going to sign up for an education class. And you can buy crypto merchandise. FirstCryptoWorld.com. Get full details. FirstCryptoWorld.com.
She'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. We're worth it in love. Yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Earlier this week, there was a news report that said the White House was getting frustrated with Congress. And I'm sitting there going, well, you guys can do something about it. This is, you know, at the end of the day, the power of the presidency is your leader of the party, and you're also a convening entity. Get Manchin, Sanders in a room. So the fact that we're still in this place where we're having this public back and forth about something that's not reality, at the end of the day, I think the burden's on the White House. They've got to take control of this. They've got to sort of get reality. The political eyes got bigger than their stomach in Congress. And I think that it's up to the White House to pull them back, and they haven't. They've let Congress work its will, and right now its will is stalemate.
There is a stalemate, and the words are coming from a liberal political director, Chuck Todd. Says the White House and President Biden are responsible for this continuous infighting between the party inside the party over this spending bill instead of really getting it to the floor and getting it done. And again, the Meet the Press moderator said, I saw a report about the White House, quote, getting frustrated with Congress. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, you guys can do something about it. And what he is suggesting is very much what former Clinton advisor James Carville said the other day on MSNBC when he said, these guys don't seem to know what they're doing, but here's what you do, and you need to do it right now.
So quit this idiotic protesting and hounding them and tell President Biden, get him in the room, get the speaker in there, get the majority leader. Let's hammer something out. And what we don't get, let's go for it in 2022. But this is idiotic strategy I'm seeing. These are all popular things.
Well, I wouldn't say they're all popular things, Jim, but I understand what you're saying. Get them in there. Because you said they kind of run around like people in a locker room banging their helmets against the lockers. That's what you said the other day. And he's right. So he's saying, these guys, it's a game that can't shoot straight. Because they got a leader, a sheriff, who probably has his star stuck somewhere deep in an ice cream cone. I don't really care, of course, if they don't get all their wish bag put together in time. That's fine by me. There's some things in there we do need for the nation. And quit these CRs, these continuing resolutions, always kicking the can down the road. But what is Biden planning on doing? Well, here it comes. I know you're waiting to hear this. I know once I tell you what's going to happen, you're going to say, book me for that. I will be out of touch with everybody that night for that event because I'm not going to miss it. Thursday night, my friend, on CNN and NNN, another town hall with Joe Biden, with Anderson Cooper asking questions at the Baltimore event in front of a special hand-picked audience. No surprise there. They will air at 7 o'clock Central Time and last 90 minutes. Not sure exactly where they're going to do it yet. They want to find something that looks intimate, so when they show a small audience, it doesn't look like it's vacant, and yet they're going to try to have their distancing. Who knows what they're going to do? Biden's already done this twice before since taking office. One he did with Anderson, that was in Feb, and then in July he did one with Don Lemon Fruitcake. He's going to be in Pittsburgh the day before that, delivering remarks promoting his massive spending agenda, but he can't get the Democrats together to get the deal passed, which is by far making me happy. And he's meeting with lawmakers supposedly this week. And then, of course, we have the China issue and their new hypersonic missile. We'll focus on that in more detail in the next hour. But coming up, Bruce Merrifield, a business consultant, strategist, on our current labor market, our business market, and where we go from here.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota, for life.
Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse, it's starting to unwind. Four kids on the corner, trying to bring you up. Billy picks a tune out and he throws it on the hum. Down on the corner, out in the street.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest has ties to the St. Louis area. I'll get into that in just a moment. He is Bruce Merrifield. He has a consulting group known as Merrifield Act 2. Act 2 because his father was also busy in business. In fact, had been Assistant Secretary of both Commerce and Economics during the Reagan administration. World War II Marine vet. Buried at Arlington, full honors 4 years ago, just shy of his 96th birthday. Bruce Merrifield, welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now, again, I mentioned you have a lot of St. Louis contacts in and off the years, and in particular with John Burroughs School. Is that right?
That's right. I lived there for just a couple of years as an infant. My dad got a PhD in physical organic chemistry at the University of Chicago, moved to St. Louis in 1950. Was there a couple of years, got transferred to Charleston, West Virginia. Long story short, we wound up back in St. Louis, and I did grades 8 through 12 at John Burroughs School. But I moved away from St. Louis. My family moved to Buffalo, and I was, for 6 years, I was in college and grad school. And improbably, after grad school, I came back to St. Louis. So my first 6 years as a professional was in St. Louis. But I left in St. Louis about 1980. I've lived multiple places since.
Well,
I do go back.
You got connections, no doubt about it. You came to my attention because of my boots on the ground correspondent, Andrew in Chicago, had gone to one of the trade seminars, and I know you do about 100 different consultations, I should say speeches, throughout the different trade organizations all these years, and I know you're a business strategist, business turnaround, acquisition expert, and so forth. What are you making of today's economy? And let's begin, let's begin with the labor shortage we're facing.
Well, you know, basically, it's a total mess. You know, humans have struggled with understanding complex dynamic systems. You know, like forecasting the weather, a lot of variables, they're all interactive. If you have a hurricane, and they say, well, here's where the hurricane could go in the next 5 days, they have something called a cone, which is massively wide because they just don't know. So economists are great when everything is very stable and just kind of putting along, and they can just sort of extrapolate forward what's going to go on. You shut down the global economy, which has been evolving and adjusting time since for years. You shut it down and then, say, put massive stimulus money in consumers' pockets so they go out and buy, you know, physical things that, you know, of a particular category like used cars. And, you know, the supply chains are just totally screwed up. So, you know, economists will try to make sense out of it, but their forecasts these days are way off because they don't know.
But the point is that this just didn't happen with a flip of a switch last night. I mean, we've got 60-plus ships sitting off the ports of California. 60-plus ships, you know, they started loading those ships and starting their journey 2 to 4 weeks ago or more.
Well, but here's what happens. You know, you put massive amount, $5 trillion worth of stimulus money in the pockets of consumers in America over the COVID period of time. They're sitting at home just saving money, not going out to restaurants or whatever. So when things start to open up and they think, oh, I need to have a bigger, better house or home office or whatever, boom, they go out and buy certain things. These things come from China. The demand is far greater than the supply chain in China can provide. The containers are all over the world on an equal basis. Now they have to race to be in one place, and it just starts to compound. Everybody wants a simple answer. There isn't a simple answer. There's zillions of variables here. It's going to take a long time for, you know, things to calm down and settle out.
Well, there are there's a lot of blame to go around. We can certainly put it on COVID. Yes, we did not know what's going on. We have a shutdown, but it continued for so long that a lot of smaller businesses, mom-and-pop operations, had been in operation for the life of the family, shuttered, never will open again, maybe. Smaller businesses may be eked out, and they're just getting back on their feet. They're getting customers coming in. They're selling merchandise, but now either they can't get the merchandise or can't get the workers, or both.
Right, right. And I think that when you look at the big conundrum is, okay, there's 10 million, you know, job listings, and there are 10 million people that are unemployed. But why aren't they getting together? And the simple answer is, well, you know, you just need to raise wages, which is a false, it's an illusion of prosperity. Like Chipotle said, all right, we're going to pay everybody 5% more, give them a career path, sort of a pretend anyway, and then raise their prices 5%. So the good news is your wage went up. The bad news is after taxes and inflation, you have less spending power than you did before. So unless you can hire people into the same kind of job at a higher wage that attracts them, you then have to reinvent that job so there is inherent productivity so that you can, you know, absorb, in a sense, higher wages and not have to pass them on or take a hit on your profits.
You know, what you mentioned brings to mind, Amazon's been running a lot of commercials lately saying we pay start at $15 an hour, plus we give you free medical care and all of this, and that's a start. And they are hungry for Amazon workers, be it either, they say, for a season or a career. And I've talked to a lot of people and said, I worked for them for a while, didn't like the way they ran, or it's just too busy. Or some say, you know, I just didn't think I was getting my, I didn't have any personal worth out of it. So there's a balance between these companies throwing this money out there and at the same time making an employee feel either empowered and or appreciated.
Right, right. And there are a couple of ways of looking at it. I mean, going forward, Amazon can, they've got these massive fulfillment centers where these, these jobs from hell are just baked in. I don't see how they can sort of enrich and cross train and, you know, do other sort of high engagement, cross training, skill development kind of thing. So, but basically, they're like Henry Ford. Back in 1914, he was paying guys, you know, X bucks all in, maybe $2 an hour, $2 per day. And people literally were walking away from the line. They said, I can't deal with this. So he realized that if he paid them $5 a day, then at least they would put up with the grind of the job. And when people said, well, Henry, why did you pay them so much? He said, well, they're good workers, and I want them to be able to afford the car. That was disingenuous. Well, in theory, that's a possibility. But the truth of the matter is he had created the biggest money machine in the history of business to that time. He would have paid him $10 an hour, and he still made a lot of money because these guys could shut his machine down, and he knew sooner or later they're going to form a union. And so he was the last guy to get unionized. So he was just getting ahead of the curve there. I think Amazon can do that. They are just so enormously innovative and efficient. They're basically going to crank their wages up to the point where they just get pure industrial athletes that say, you know what, it's a terrible job. I'm selling my soul, but I'm making enough money. And they're put in, and while you're working here, we'll pay for your college too.
Yeah, so, and who's going to end up paying for that?
Well, you know, companies have a lot of choices. If labor goes up, simplistically, I could just say, well, I'm going to simply pass that on
right
to the end user. If you say, oh, like Costco, I'm going to pay 141% more all in per employee than Sam's Wholesale, and they did that for years, you'd say, well, how can Costco pay 140% more than Sam's? I mean, Walmart is 8 times bigger than Costco. Talk about buying power. And they're selling toilet paper at a 13% margin. Ah, but for 140%, a lot of people show up. They have very elaborate screening systems to make sure they really get the very best work ethic. If you're going to pay thoroughbred wages, you get thoroughbred aptitude. Then the wage keeps people on the hook, and they say, we have a lot of expectations. We expect that you will learn to cross-train at all these different jobs and be plug-compatible. Gives us team flexibility and allows us to have other service systems like treasure hunts and things
sure
like that that Sam's Wholesale can't do.
So let me drill down a couple of points in the last 2 minutes here. One, again, folks, you're listening to Bruce Merrifield, a consulting agency, Merrifield Act 2, named after, I guess, in honor of your father in that sense. Oil prices are estimating right now. We're already at plus $84 a barrel. They're saying by 2023, we could see 150. And if we see that, and if we see the labor market continue to shrink, or we see more illegals coming in and taking over the lowest paid jobs or taking any jobs, what is the future for the nation?
You know, don't ever – in the news, you don't hear that 330 million people got up this morning and said, you know, I need to eat. I need to get some money to eat. How can I make more money, you know, scale up, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Humans in America are very innovative. And when you talk to economists and say, in your model, where do you have innovation? They go, well, we don't have it because we don't know how to measure that, so we pretend it doesn't exist.
Uh-huh.
But what about the underground economy? Well, we don't know what that is either. So we pretend that doesn't exist. Don't, you know, the fact that 330 million blades of grass got bigger, stronger, whatever today, that's not news. What leads, if it bleeds, it leads. So it's always sensational news here.
All right.
So don't ever sell America short.
I will never do that. I promise you that. I believe in the people. Bruce, thank you very much for your time. I know the audience appreciates it as well.
All right, thanks.
You bet. Bye-bye. Bruce Merrifield, Act 2 Consulting. We come back. You know, the Bidens got caught without a mask the other day, and the attitude from the White House, no big deal. And there's something else about security funding for some.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
You want to make someone feel really special? Give them a gift card from Cafe Napoli, treating them to a memorable dinner at any of the Napoli locations. Business owners, I encourage you to give Napoli gift cards to clients, employees, Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now on the streets of St. Charles.
Cafe Napoli.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, in talking about all these shortages you're going to start seeing and the higher prices, you will have to figure your way through it. And if you listen to some of the state-controlled media or read it, they're just going to basically say that you're spoiled and you need to stop renting because the businesses are short-staffed and the supply chain is blocked up. Yeah, that's the attitude of a columnist for the Washington Post, saying it's time for some new, more realistic expectations. Americans used to fast service, easy access. American consumers are expectations pampered, catered to for decades, not accustomed to inconvenience, so you just have to suffer. Oh, I guess this is kind of like they said the other day about the supply chain. According to the Biden White House, well, in a way, it's a high-class problem. It's a good thing because we're so big and wealthy, we have such an issue, like a third-world country issue or something. But there are those, of course, who will make sure they get what they want and what they need. Or I go back to just what they want, not even what they need. And they're in position to make some money in the process. I'm looking at a disclosure form first reported by the American Prospect that shows that Federal Reserve Chairman, Jerome Powell, sold up to $5 million worth of his stock from his personal account last October. That happened just before the Dow Jones cratered and all of this stuff came up, showing we have shortages and so forth. You think that might have been insider? All I know is that he's not going to suffer like some other people will. And, of course, we have police agencies being hampered across the nation by either shortages now because they're demanding all first responders be vaccinated, even if it's against their religion. And if that's not enough, they're defunding them, not giving them enough backup and officers, even if they could hire them, they don't have the money. But while you're suffering in maybe your area because you don't have enough police and protection, rest easy, my friend. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, she has hard times too. Well, in a way, I wouldn't talk about her wealth. It's just that she's taking care of her own. Her daughter, a campaign chairwoman, according to finance records, paying her $74,000 in campaign funds so far this year. See how good it is to have someone at the top? According to one report, her family members have made more than $1 million in the last 8 years by doing business with companies, candidates, causes that Maxine Waters helped. That's at the very base of the Hunter Biden story, and China, and Russia, and Joe Biden. Do you think anybody's going to take an investigation of that at any point to take a look at how some of these folks are enriching themselves while others are suffering? I would suggest you do not hold your breath, because they're not going to pay the price. They're going to have what they need or even just want. But I've got some good news for you. One of our listeners, Craig, sent this to me. I had not seen this, Craig, and so I thank you for it. Maybe some of you had. I mean, and maybe you've already booked and made plans to do it. He wrote me and said, did you know that Congressman Adam Schiff, yes, the same that's running the Intel Committee and has out his new book to sell about the January 6th, quote, insurrection, he is coming to St. Louis on October 29th. That's, what, 6 days from now? Is that right? My math off? No, we're the 19th, 10 days from now. He's going to be speaking at the St. Louis County Library headquarters about his book. You want in? Oh, you can get in. $38 per couple. That apparently also includes the book. I don't know if you eat coffee and tea or anything to eat. But then Craig adds, isn't it nice that a tax-supported institution invited the premier Trump hater to town? You want to think on that for a moment? St. Louis County Library does have taxpayer funds in it. Did they invite or did he just pre-book it? I don't really know the background on it, but it's going to be interesting to see how many bother to show up and pay $38 just to be there and get a copy of the book. What are you asking? Why be there? You're silly, aren't you? You really are. Coming up in the next hour, can Biden make China blink? Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.